You know what? It's kind of nice looking at the front of your faces instead of the back. You know, sitting back there, all I can see is the back of people's heads. But not that I noticed. Unless, you know, some of you with lots of hair might have some there that I can't see. But it's good to be here. And I thank all of you for the prayers that you have given to me and my husband over the last several months. Has not been an especially easy time for us, but God is good. And all the time, God is good. And that's why I'm standing here today in front of you, you know, and I so appreciate it. I so appreciate all of you. And I appreciate seeing some really good faces that we haven't seen in a long, long time. I was nearly blown over by the ages of their children now. But it's so great to see the four of you again. It really is. And it's good to see you again, Erica. She's home from school for a while. A week or so. 3 months. Oh, you're going to stay home. This is good. See, we have to get caught up on things like this because we don't get to do that, you know, which is really part of what I wanted to talk about today. I want to start off by saying the last several weeks or months, Pastor been speaking on following Jesus. And I have to tell you, those words have been exploding in my head. And let me explain what I mean by that. There have been so many scriptures that have gone through my mind that every time I read and listened to him and read the chair time, those scriptures kept exploding and exploding in my mind. And then a few others. And I'll give you an example of that. Here's two. Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, in the Greek words, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, which gives that sense of urgency and almost determination. You've got that burning desire. It's a little different than if anyone just come after me. But then this one kept popping up in my head. And it took me a little while to settle and come to terms with it. It says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's a very hard one to look at. But again, the Greek says, if anyone who puts his hands on the plow and as he is plowing, looking back behind him, looking at things that have happened in the past. And there are many people today, and Christians sometimes today, look at what has happened in the past. You know, and there's an old saying that the past informs the future, which I don't believe for a lot of times, because my past was not what God had before me. And we'll get more into that a little later. But there were not just these two. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. All that I have commanded you. All that I have commanded you, not just part. And then Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves, and this is the early Christians, to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that last one, they devoted. Devotion, the word in the Greek means they were steadfast and had a urgency in listening and learning everything. It wasn't just being, okay, I know it, I understand it, I follow it. It's more than that. They got a deepness inside. And I could go on, but I'm not going to, because I have an appointment this afternoon and I could stand here all day, because I don't get a chance to do this very often. And as much as I love doing Hope Bills and teaching, this is sometimes what I've been called to do. So when I looked at all these few and the few more that were just exploding in my mind, I had to ask myself a question, and I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to pray. Okay? Are you a follower of Christ, or are you a discipler of Christ? Let's pray. Father God, how much I love you, how much we love you, and we're here today to hear from you. We have invited the Holy Spirit to fill this place, and we know that you are in our hearts and you will open them up to hear what you have for us today. I know this message has been laid on my heart, and I know, Lord God, that you will take it, you will multiply the words, you will give me the words that will touch people, that will not only touch their minds, but touch their hearts also. I pray that, Lord God. So be with us. Stir us, Lord God, to love and good works, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you may ask me, what's the difference between a follower of Christ and a discipler? Now, a discipler sounds a little different. It sounds like a disciple, but it's a disciple doing something. The difference is a follower of Jesus is someone who adheres to his teachings. That's hopefully and prayerfully is exactly what we're doing, right? That's what we have learned over the last couple of months, is exactly how to be a follower. About loving, forgiving, denying. We've learned that. Okay, so I want to now take us the next step from being a follower to being a discipler of Jesus, and that is someone who intentionally invests his or her life into the lives of other people. That becomes a disciple, and that is exactly what a disciple is. Now, I went and I read through the Gospels and I looked at the ministry of Jesus. And basically, the ministry of Jesus, throughout his ministry, for the most part, he had two groups that followed him. One was the disciples, and the second was the crowd or the multitude. Now, the disciples were the ones who followed, who obeyed Jesus, the left answered the call and followed him. But the crowds and the multitudes were the ones that Jesus always gave the call to come and follow me. That call is always out there. Always. Always out there. So, how do we get the call from the disciples to those out there? How do we get the call from the follower of Christ to the people that we come in contact with? Interesting question, I think. There are what I would call, and I don't particularly like this word, but I will say it, prerequisites for being a disciple as opposed to being just a follower of Christ. One is paying the price. Are we willing to pay the price to be a disciple and not just a follower. Jesus had many followers. There were other people who were in the group that were followers of his, that believed he was the Messiah, that were totally convinced in his teachings. But they weren't his disciples. And so, paying the price at one, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow. What does that mean? What does that mean? Deny yourself. Okay, I make plans. Yesterday, James came over. We spent a good amount of time, wonderful time in fellowship. Wonderful, wonderful time. But in between that, right before that, we have realized that our refrigerator, about 16 years old, was slowly dying. Okay? And so, after our wonderful thing, we had to go and buy one, and we wound up at two stores before we could get one. And they say, okay, we can deliver it tomorrow. Oh, no, 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 you can't deliver it tomorrow. I, at church. Then, I have my grandson's graduation party. Can you do it on Monday? Sure we can, that's fine. Meanwhile, we are trying to keep everything that's still in our refrigerator and freezer frozen with ice, and lots of ice, and lots of ice. You know, and so frequently we make plans, but sometimes those plans have to change. Sometimes our Saturdays are always our wash day. Didn't become our wash day yesterday, became everything else, but not having what I need, although the refrigerator is what we need, but it's not what I wanted to do. That was the last thing I wanted to do, was to go to stores. I don't like to go to stores on Saturdays. Everybody else goes there, and they're crazy. They're crazy around here anyway, so, you know, Saturdays, it makes it worse. But, you know, that thing, are we, as followers of Jesus, willing to pay the price so that we can invest our lives in the lives of others? And then the other one is, be committed to Jesus' cause. What was Jesus' cause? What was the purpose he came? Was to save everyone, right? God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life, right? That's his cause. Okay, so how does somebody who is a follower and is willing to pay the price, is willing to be committed to the cause, become more than just a follower? Now, we all know the Great Commission. Yes? No? Anybody? Don't know the Great Commission? Okay. No. Matthew 28:19-20. Go into all the world, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all the commands. That is the Great Commission. Jesus gave that commission to his disciples, the ones who were willing to pay the price and became committed to his cause, not to his followers. Interesting, though. There's a different, you can follow God, and that is exactly what he did. He wants us to follow, but he calls many of us to being more than just followers. He calls many of us to go that extra step. Isaac, what was the one thing that I loved to teach more than anything else about? You are my perfect one here. Don't fail me now. Okay, thank you. Discipleship. I was getting there. It was like he was looking at me like, wow, you taught me about my relationship with God. Yes, but I have been picking on Isaac all morning. Right? Yes. So, and I apologize for that. That's right. It's been a long time, so. But anyway, the Great Commission was given to those who were his disciples, those inner circle people, the people that were willing to pay the price and commit themselves to God's cause, to bringing the good news, the gospel of salvation, to those that they came in contact. Which brings us to the New Testament of Acts, right? Because up until Jesus was in or on the earth, he was confined, really, his teachings, though it went to the crowd that followed him, his instructions were for that special few who chose to be his disciples. They made that choice to give up and follow him. When the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts on Pentecost, that call was given to everyone. It was no longer not just for those 12, but for everyone. And what Acts 2:42 says, they, the early Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The apostles' teachings, what did the apostles teach? Only what Jesus taught. Whatever Jesus taught, they taught. They were devoted, that steadfastness, that determination. They were totally devoted to it. I thought immediately of the scripture from I forget who it said. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sit against you. I tasted it, your word, and it tasted like honey to me. That was Isaiah. They took it in. They digested it. They ate it. Figuratively. But they ate the word of the apostles, what the apostles taught them. They took it in and they were enveloped in it to the point that they were different. Their community was very different, the first early Christians. They were known for their community of being together, of knowing one another, of spending time with one another, eating meals with one another, praying with one another, being apart. If you have a need, hey, I can help you out. That's what they were all about. And they were very, very different from the others. You know, there's a very, very subtle difference between being a follower and a disciple. But yet it makes all the difference in the world. I want to ask you a question. When I look at this, and this one really exploded in my mind for a while, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Do we digest the word, the food we get every Sunday morning? Do we fellowship with other in our community to talk about what we've heard and what we experience? Do we spend time eating meals together? Do we pray together? Or are we just too busy? I want you all to take a look around the room. I mean literally look around the room. How many people do you know, really know, that are sitting in your community? How many people do you really know?
36.
How many people? With the exception of the two, because I know you're from out of town, but you know a few of us. But how many of those, when you look around and you see these people, how many of them are you willing to invest your life into? Are you willing to maybe give up doing something you like and invite somebody for coffee to talk with them and find out about them? See what they're experiencing? See how you could pray for them? See how you can help them grow in wisdom and understanding of God's word? I have another question for you. My other question is, in Acts, it says that the elders and teachers were commissioned or charged with feeding the flock. Right? Pastor, when he was ordained, the DS says, feed the flock. When I was ordained, feed the flock. Is it just our job to feed the flock? Or is it all of us? If we are really, truly, not just followers, but disciples of Jesus, this is one of our charges, is to feed the flock. Just think, how many of you are involved in a small group? How many of you come to Hope Builds? How many call somebody up and say, hey, let's have lunch together. Let's pray together. This is all, this should actually be a part of our life, our everyday life. And when somebody's in need, we should be the first to respond. There are many people in need in our own communities, in our own church here. I know of one family right now who parents are struggling. And they probably would not like me to tell you, but I'm going to anyway, because I want you to pray for them. Okay, Jovan and Catherine. Jovan has had two surgeries on his hands. Can't work. Catherine broke her ankle. Can't really walk much. Yet they have three kids, and frequently there are five in that house. Five or six in that house. No income. They need a little bit more than our prayers. I'm saying that because so many times in our church, we don't know what's going on. And they would probably be upset with me. But I think I'm at a good enough relationship with them that I could say this. They need our help. They need our prayers. They need us to come alongside them, to walk with them, say, we care. What can we help you with? And I know there's others here that can use. I look at Glory. Sorry, Glory. But I think of you know, the different burden that's on her now, you know, being the sole person in the house, the sole breadwinner, and trying to make a home for Mariah, you know. We need to come alongside. You know, I'm saying this because this is what we need to do. You know, and a lot of us have done it all our lives. And we say, okay, now it's somebody else's turn. But you know what? It's not. It's not somebody else's turn. If we don't tell them, who will? If we don't help them, who will? If we don't pray for them, who will? To me, that is what being a disciple is all about. You know, over the years, I have stayed away from teens because I just couldn't tolerate them. I'd stay with the kids because I just couldn't tolerate until I came here. These teens here have changed my attitude towards teens. I love these kids, and that's why I can pick them on them. See, and they're laughing already. Because I picked on the three of them outside before. But if you, would the three of you please stand up? And four of you, come on, you two. And you're a young adult, so you can stand up too. Okay? Look at these. Look at these. Aren't they fabulous looking? Pastor Brian will never ask me to preach again, let me tell you. Okay? So I'm making the most of it right now. Is there not somebody in here that is willing, besides Kevin and Tiffany, to invest their lives into these kids, to teach them and help them grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man? Is there not people around in this very community here that can help these people, that can, whether we call it a discipling or a mentoring, whatever it is, it's something that we're supposed to be doing to help them grow. It's not just Pastor Brian and Ann's job. It's not just their family's job. It's all of our job. We are all responsible for these people. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that. If nobody comes and talks to you about being a part of your life, let me know, please. Okay, you can sit down now. I did that. I wasn't planning on doing that, but it was just the perfect thing to do right now. What I'm trying to say, and I'm not doing a good job, I'm really not doing a good job, is that it is our responsibility to take care of these people. But not just young. You look around, we have some young adults like Erica, Micah, and Tiffany, and a few other younger than we are, than I am anyway, which takes a lot of you, who need somebody to walk beside them, need somebody to say, you know what? Brian said to me, Pastor Brian said to me in the message today, this is what God spoke to me about. And I don't know if you understood it because I was having trouble understanding it. Together. You know, there's a scripture that says iron sharpens iron, which means two heads that are in right relationship with God and have God in the center of their life can look at his word and decipher what it's saying. You know, years ago, I had a pastor who discipled me. He saw something in me. Couldn't think. When he first started with me, I used to get tongue-tied because my mind would go faster than my mouth, and so the words would never come out right. But he took his time. 2 years. Took his time. He taught me. He showed me. To the point where I said, I want whatever you have, I want. And I've told you this story many times. I have what you want. And he was patient. He walked alongside me. He helped me. He helped me see what God had in store for me. He helped me see the plans that God had laid out for me. We need each other. We need each other to show each other, to make things clearer to each other, to show them that path of holiness that we are supposed to be walking on. We need each other. That's what a disciple does. Even though sometimes the disciples had little bickering, but once the Holy Spirit came, there was no more bickering. Lots of disagreements, but not bickering, you know. And so, could we not be like these early Christians? Could we not become devoted, not just to the apostles' teachings, which were Jesus' teaching? Could we not become disciples of Christ? It's wonderful to be a follower, absolutely. But I'm challenging each and every one of you to take the next step. Be a disciple. Walk with somebody. Share with somebody. Love somebody. So that they can, in turn, love others and disciple others. That's the cycle. Jesus discipled his disciples. His disciples discipled the early Christians. That's where Paul and everybody discipled, and so we disciple one another. That's what that scripture is all about. Go into all the world. Go into your next door neighbor, you know, go into somebody in here. Have a meal with them, pray with them, love them to life. Help them grow in wisdom. In Luke 2:52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature before God and man. And in the Greek, it says, he progressed. He progressed in his wisdom. Okay? We're all in the process of progressing. None of us have made it. And if you think you do, you should have been here for Hope Hills this morning. Speak to James about that. He'll let you know. But he progressed. We need to progress. We can't be the same as we were last year. We can't be the same in our relationship with God and with one another as we were last week. We cannot become static in our relationship, right? We cannot become static in our relationship with God and with one another. Because when one is affected, so is the other. If my relationship with God is not right, I'm not going to be right with everybody else. And so in following Jesus, which is what Pastor Brian has taught us this couple of months, we need now to take that next step and become a disciple. Invest your life. Some of us have invested our lives in our children. Some of us have invested our lives in the children of the church. Some in the teens of the church. Some in the young adults. Some in the seniors. We all need. We're never at an age where we don't need somebody. We all need somebody. Again, you should have been here for Hope Hills. We were not meant to be solitary. God said, it's not good for man. And man was Adamo, meaning humankind, was not meant for man to be alone. We need each other. I need you. Pastor Brian needs you. Tiffany needs you. Kevin needs you. James needs you. We all need each other. That's how we're going to grow. And I'm not talking necessarily about numerically. I'm talking about spiritually. Because I think when we grow spiritually, that will be the natural outcome. We will see people coming saying, these people are different. I want to go see what's going on in that church. These people are different. That's what they said about the early Christians. They're different. I want to be different. I hope you want to be different too. I want you to be the person God created you to be. I read a book years and years and years ago that says, you were born an apple, don't die an orange. Don't spend your life trying to be something you're not. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. We are all called to be disciples. We are all called to go and preach and teach and tell people about Jesus. We are all called to that. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be in your college. It could be in your schools. It could be every day when all those kids come to your house. it's no matter where you are, God calls you to be his disciple, to be that different person. When I was president of the ceramic club in Sun City Grand, they used to come up to me. What makes you so different? You don't get angry like other people get angry. You don't yell like the other people yell. What makes you so different? Open doors. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He's the one. You don't have to do anything really special, but be the person God created you to be. He gave you mouth to talk. A mouth also to respect. Gave you arms to hug and a heart to love. To me, that means being a disciple. And this is how we can begin and stay being. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us do it, come together all the more as we see the day approaching. Let's not give up meeting with others. Let's not give up meeting during the week. Let's not give up. Just let's not give up. Some can do more than others. That's true. And that's okay. God knows. But do what you can. And the Holy Spirit will take over. I want to get up before God and hear him say, you did a good job, Maureen. You helped a lot of people. You know? You just got to keep on keeping on. And when you need help, this is part of what James was talking about this morning, humility. Need help, ask. Ask. Sometimes it's just for prayer. Ask. People will pray. We have a wonderful women's group that prays. You have a prayer concern? See Jeannie. See Kathy when she comes back. You know, that women's group is full of prayer warriors. And they have been seeing God do amazing, miraculous things. Absolutely amazing. And it's wonderful to see God take a hold. We saw, and I'm going to close with the story of Doreen. You all know Doreen, you know? She, Doreen Collins, yeah, Collins, isn't it Collins? INGS, right. They used to be snowbirds. So they decided this year that they were going to sell their house back in wherever they are. I forget where they are. Michigan. They were going to sell their house. And she just asked for the women's group to pray that it would go fairly smoothly and not take too long. They put the house on the market on Monday morning. By Monday afternoon, it was sold. Similar things happen to you, too, you know. God works. God works. God wants what is good for us. When we do what he wants us to do, he blesses us. He blesses us abundantly. I just pray that somehow in the hearts of the people that are sitting here, that God can get a hold of it and say, I think I can. Just invite Michael once a week for a cup of coffee. Mike is starting school and you know, that's difficult, holding out a job, a family, a wife, and holding everything down. Just picking up, let's have some coffee, you know, or even Tiffany, you know, who's going to struggle with that, you know, or even Glory, you know, can we pick up Mariah to have, you know, take her to lunch one day? Simple things like that. Doesn't take a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. It just takes a willing heart. So my closing question is, how willing is your heart?